The Wisconsin Assembly passed Republicans' version of the state budget last night, sending it on to the governor's desk. It's Friday, June 30th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Hope Kerwin. Coming up, the U.S. Supreme Court decided to rule against affirmative action. Reporter Rich Kramer takes a look into how Wisconsin colleges are responding. And rural populations are growing. We'll take a look at where in the state that's happening. Stay with us.
Our world gets more complex all the time. You rely on WPR to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language. This essential service that you count on relies on your support. It's the largest source of our funding. If you've never given before, make a contribution now of, say, $10 a month at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
Assembly Republicans voted last night to pass their version of the next state budget. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, the plan now heads to Democratic Governor Tony Evers' desk.
During debate yesterday, Democratic lawmakers criticized a $3.5 billion income tax cut in the GOP budget. Jenna Jacobson of Oregon said it wastes the state's historic surplus.
The end result is trading the support of kids and families for expensive tax cuts to the wealthiest people in our state.
Republicans like John Plumer of Lodi said they're delivering on a promise to put money back in Wisconsinites' pockets.
That's not our money. That belongs to the taxpayers. And it should go back to the taxpayers.
The budget proposal passed the assembly along party lines. Next up, Evers has three options: sign it, veto it, or use his partial veto pen to change the budget. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Public opinion has shifted from supporting public school spending to wanting to decrease property taxes. That's according to the latest Marquette Law School poll. 5 years ago, 63% of people said they would prefer to increase spending on public schools than reduce their property taxes. Now, only 47% of people feel that way. Alan Borsuk is a fellow at Marquette Law School.
I think people feel like they're getting hit up for more money and they're not really seeing much better results even in their local communities. You also have the whole harmonious and polarized situation in so many school districts over these hot button issues of race or gender.
In recent years, more school districts have turned to voters for operations and capital projects. In April, 69 districts asked for tax increases to borrow money for new buildings or to exceed state revenue limits. Just 55% passed, which is the lowest success rate for school referendums since 2010. The U.S. Supreme Court has banned colleges from considering race when admitting prospective students. Rich Kramer reports Wisconsin universities are still reviewing how it may impact their campuses.
In a 6-3 decision, justices ruled in favor of advocacy group Students for Fair Admissions, which argued Harvard University and the University of North Carolina discriminated against Asian American applicants by giving preference to other groups. A UW-Madison statement says the university remains committed to improving diversity. UW-Eau Claire sophomore Lydia Stables says racial disparities are still obvious on and off campus.
And helping to alleviate those disparities and, you know, bridge those gaps, I think it's just really terrible that that's not being taken into consideration anymore.
The conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty celebrated the court's ruling, saying it essentially eliminates racial discrimination in college admissions. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin has led the Midwest in rural migration since 1980. That's according to a new report by Wisconsin Policy Forum. The report says the state's rural population grew by 18% from 1980 to 2022, but it's only increased by almost 2% since 2010. Rural migration slowed after the 1990s, but over the last decade, it received a boost from people around retirement age moving to tourism hotspots. The five fastest growing rural counties since 2010 are all known for summer recreation. They include Sawyer, Vilas, Bayfield, Burnett, and Door counties. Mark Sommerhauser authored the report.
It is clear that people at or near retirement age are a significant component of the in-migration to some of these rural counties, especially in the north.
He says that offers a boost to the local economy because those residents often bring wealth and spending power with them. Coming up, high school is hard for any teenager, but even harder in another country. We'll have a Wisconsin Life episode from a Palestinian student who lived in the southern part of the state. Stay with us.
Our world gets more complex all the time. You rely on WPR to turn complicated issues and the news of the day into understandable language. This essential service that you count on relies on your support. It's the largest source of our funding. If you've never given before, make a contribution now of, say, $10 a month at 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a teenager who recently had to return home.
High school exchange programs are a way for students and communities to gain an understanding for what goes on around the world. WPR's Corrine Hess reports on one exchange student's experience this year and how that added a new perspective in the city of Monroe.
For a brief time, Palestinian exchange student Anastasia had a window of what life as a Wisconsin teenager could be. The 15-year-old made friends playing soccer at Monroe High School. She fell in love with local coffee shops, but her world was shattered with a phone call.
My friend, she broke down crying, and then I could hear, like, the ambulance, and I was like, why are you crying? Don't tell me my family, they're dead. Don't tell me they didn't survive. And she just didn't have an answer. She was, like, telling me, we don't know yet. We don't know if they're alive. We don't know if they survived.
Anastasia grew up in Gaza City, her childhood punctuated with rockets overhead. We were asked not to use Anastasia's last name to protect her identity and her family's safety. For decades, violence has broken out between Palestinians and Israelis over land in the Gaza Strip. Innocent people are killed, and then families like Anastasia's return to their daily routines.
The way we live in Palestine, where we are told to have our phones under our pillows in case we find ourselves under the bricks. Coming to the U.S., it made me realize how bad and normalized it has been in my life. Like, I would be telling my friends in the U.S., like, I'd be telling them stories about, like, this happening, and they would look at me shocked, asking me, how are you saying this so normally?
Several hours after being told rockets were launched on her neighborhood, Anastasia learned three hit her house. Only one detonated, but it still destroyed most of her home. Her parents and 5-year-old brother were able to move into a portion of the house not ruined, which saved their lives.
My room and my parents' room, thankfully, they weren't badly affected. That's how they survived. But the living room and the bathroom and other places, the ceiling was down. So they were lucky. They were very lucky.
Anastasia's exchange student program ended June 5th. But after the bombing, her parents wanted her to stay in the United States until they could find a permanent home in Gaza. Anastasia wanted to stay in Wisconsin, too.
It would be so much easier if I could help them from the U.S. But I don't know, to be honest, like, there's nothing I can do back there to help them. I don't really feel like I'm safe anymore.
Larry and Mary Klepping are empty nesters who have hosted foreign exchange students for years at their farmhouse just outside of Monroe. But it wasn't until Anastasia moved in with them that the Kleppings realized how little they know about what is happening across the world.
I don't want to get into the politics of it. The Palestinian view, I've never heard it. From a news perspective, you very much hear the Israeli side. You can get that all over. And, I get it. It's hard to say who's right and wrong at this point. But it has opened my eyes, this thing about things that go on and what you hear, and there's always another side of it.
The Institute for Middle East Understanding and Anastasia's friends in Monroe worked for weeks to try to keep her in the United States, but she decided to return to Gaza on June 9th, worried that if she stayed in Wisconsin, she could jeopardize the student exchange program for other Palestinian students. Before she left Monroe, Anastasia said she hopes to come back to study again in the United States. But more than that, she hopes her brother has a chance to experience life in America.
I'm looking around and I'm just thinking about my little brother, my 5-year-old brother. I don't want him to go through this traumatic experience again. I don't want him to think about his house being bombed or he might just die any moment. I hate the way our childhoods are, like, being stolen.
Anastasia hopes she and her brother can have a life without living in fear.
WPR's Corrine Hess brought us that story on a Palestinian high school student who spent the last year in Monroe, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm Hope Kerwin, in for Alex Crow today. Our producers are Mallory Cheng and John Davis. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning, and don't forget to subscribe. We'll see you back here on Monday.